You are listening to the Real Faith Stories Podcast, interviews with people who chose to boldly follow their faith. I'm your host, Brian Robinson. Now, let's meet our guest and hear their story. Amy Roberts, welcome to Real Faith Stories. I am so looking forward to our conversation today.
Hi, Brian. Thanks for having me. I'm excited to tell all the wonderful things God's doing in our lives.
I connected with a friend of yours, and she was on our podcast about a month ago, Diana Burks. She connected with you when she moved into her neighborhood. She literally knocked on every door and asked the women of the home if they'd like to come to a Bible study at her house. You were one of those people, and it radically changed your life and the life of your family members. So we're definitely going to dig into that. But first, if you would, Amy, please share a bit about your backstory. Where did you grow up? What was the faith that you grew up with? And then what happened after you met Diana Burks?
So I grew up a Catholic background, and my entire family is Catholics, like so far back, generation after generation. So I didn't know anything different. I knew there was a God. My mom took us to church every weekend. We went through all the sacraments, and I didn't question it ever. I just thought that's what we do. And I thought everybody was Catholic, which is the crazy thing. When I was little, I didn't know there was anything different. Because when you have 30, 40, 50 family members that meet and all go to church together, have, you know, Sunday brunch together, it just was how I grew up. So I knew there was a God and I knew Jesus. I just didn't know that he was relational. So I do give my mom credit because she did teach us to fear the Lord. So I definitely had to fear, but that fear is all I had. I had fear from the time I was little until I can remember. It was a constant fear.
Did you grow up in Texas?
I did. I grew up in Duncanville, Texas.
So you went through the standard kind of lifestyle growth. I suspect you went to college and then met your husband, etc.
Yes, I thought that's what you do in life. I thought you go to school. I thought you go to church, check off the box, you get married and have kids.
What were your passions as you went through elementary, high school, college? What tended to rise to the surface in your life?
We were a very sports-minded family. We loved any and everything to do with sports. I have a twin brother. We both played soccer. I had a younger brother that's 18 months younger, and he was a big baseball player. We played basketball, softball, everything to do with sports. Like, that's what I remember. And I would say that was probably my biggest passion. And then I really got into like cheer and all sorts of different clubs whenever I got into high school.
And then college, same thing?
College was a different story. College, I went to have a good time. I went to party, and I had gone to, back then it was called Southwest Texas. And since then they changed their name to, I guess, make it sound more prestigious to Texas State. But I still call it Southwest because it's kind of odd to me because that's where I went. And that's what's on my diploma. I joined a sorority and thought that would be a lot of fun. I actually met my husband in college, and I just went basically to have a good time. I was a very worldly girl and didn't know anything different.
So you got married, and how many children do you have now?
We have four children. We have our oldest is Reed. He is married, and we're expecting our first grandbaby this summer. Super excited. And then we have two sons that are both at Texas A&M, Cole and Jake, that are a junior and a sophomore. And then our daughter, Faith, is a freshman in high school.
Okay. Tell me about that day that Diana Burks knocked on your door. You were just innocently at your house, weren't you?
Yeah, I was. I mostly was a stay-at-home mom when my kids were little. And this was literally my 40th birthday. So I always laugh because when the Israelites wandered for 40 years, Amy was wandering for 40 years and then got a knock on the door.
I have to pause there. That's incredible, really, when you think about it. There's no coincidence with the Lord.
So yes, 40 years of doing the same thing. And the other funny part is I always tell everybody this. I was born on Groundhog's Day. And for 40 years, I had been doing the same thing every year, ever since the time I remember, doing always the same routine. Didn't know there was anything out of that routine. So she knocked on my door and invited me to a Bible study. I had never been to a Bible study.
Wow.
Never. And that's the funny part people laugh about, because they were like, what were you thinking? I was like, I didn't know. I said, I just showed up. I didn't bring a Bible because I didn't really know people read that thing. And I didn't know what I was going to do. I thought it was a lady that was going to maybe teach me something about the Bible. And I was open to hearing anything she had to say. So I just went.
What was your gut level response when she knocked on the door? What were you thinking when she offered this opportunity?
I honestly didn't feel like I could say no. There was something about her that I knew I couldn't decline this invitation. Now I know it was the Holy Spirit probably nudging me. But back then I didn't know. I didn't even know the Holy Spirit could even move like that.
What happened on that first interaction with her and the other ladies?
Okay, so that was interesting. I went, and everybody there, I can tell you, was so very genuine and really sweet people. There was something about them that was so inviting. She started worship music, and they were all raising their hands, worshiping. And I was like, what is this? What have I got myself into? I thought it was so awkward. And I thought they were so just peculiar and awkward, and it made me uncomfortable, honestly. But at the same time, when I left that day, my husband was like, well, what'd you think? And I said, Scott, they're really awkward, and it was unusual, and this was what they were doing. And Scott was like, really? I go, yeah, but Scott, they knew the Bible. I go, it was blowing my mind, because they would call it a scripture, and all of them would turn and just know where to go. And I mean, if you've never opened the Bible, it's very intimidating. I had never opened it, so that they knew it backwards and forwards. It, something about it made me want to go back.
So you hadn't opened the Bible really in 40 years?
Never.
So you were very intrigued and you kept coming back, obviously.
I did. It was something about every time they opened their mouth and were reading from the Bible, faith was coming by hearing. Something was being deposited into me that I can't even describe it, but it was making me go on this adventure. Like I wanted to know more of what they were talking about. So I kept going. And about 3 months in, there was a specific talk about changing the tide that day. And they were like, somebody has to get off the boat. Somebody in your family has to be willing to want more. And I knew that day it was me. And so I came home to my very Catholic family and just said, we're going to start reading the Bible in this family. And by this time, you have to figure my boys are teenagers. My daughter's little at this time. She's probably 6 years old. And she's like gung-ho. Oh my gosh, yes, mom. Like so excited about it. And my boys were like, what? Like rolling their eyes. Typical teenagers. What are we going to do? My husband, I wouldn't say was on fire to do it, but also didn't oppose it. Was like, okay, I'll try it. So that was really sweet. But the funny thing is we all had 6 different versions of the Bible. A couple of us had Catholic Bibles. My daughter had a little kid's Bible. My husband's Bible was from his Methodist church and just all different versions. So I said, we're going to start at the beginning. We're going to start reading it. And then we're going to pray together. And they're all looking at me like, mom, you're lost your mind. So we started at Genesis, started reading it. And after that, we started praying. But my kids were like, mom, my version didn't say what yours says, and starts having like this little discussion. So to make everything easier, I went to Mardell that day. And I said, I need a really easy Bible to understand. I didn't even know what like version to buy. I had no clue. So people at Mardell helped me. And I think we started in I think it was a New Living. And we started in that. And that made it easier because we at least all had the same words that were being spoken. And my boys, they couldn't pray out loud. My husband couldn't either. We only prayed during dinner, Brian. If you can imagine, we said a very robotic prayer that most Catholics say at dinner. And that was all we ever prayed. We never veered off of it. So to open your mouth and to just ask them, hey, pray for anything the Lord puts on your heart. Pray for anybody he might have put in your path. They were looking at me like, what are you talking about?
Totally foreign concept.
Yes.
We take that so for granted in general, don't we? You know how to pray, right?
Exactly. Because these ladies, I was literally modeling what they were modeling to me. And my daughter, which was the crazy thing, took it immediately. It was easy for her as a child, but the boys being teenagers, it was not easy. It was like that spirit of religion was already on them that was binding their mouth where they didn't want to open it. And my daughter was just so, I always tell everybody, I think she was full of the Holy Spirit immediately because it was as if she was like an 80-year-old woman that had devoted her life to the Lord. What was coming out of her mouth was profound. Yes.
I'm laughing because the Holy Spirit will bring such incredible wisdom to anyone who's willing to open their hands up and just go for it.
True.
So you had a little challenge to overcome with respect to the family going all in on this, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I was so panicked because I knew that I had raised my kids in religion and I had taught in the Catholic Church for a long time, their faith formation classes. And my boys, it wasn't flowing as freely for them. They weren't as open to it. And I could see there was so many reservations. And I was like, y'all, just read the Bible, just open it. And my boys were like, why? What's the point? And it scared me. I thought, Lord, I screwed up. And if you don't take over and help me, I don't know how to open their ears like you've opened mine.
What type of conversations were you having with Diana and this group as a result of what you were experiencing with your family?
They were really just building my faith. I was battling so much spiritual warfare, but didn't even know what spiritual warfare was. I had literally a Bible study on Wednesdays, and then I was still going to the Catholic Church on Sundays because I didn't know that I could leave. I felt like that's what we were supposed to be. Like, I thought everybody was supposed to be Catholic, but then the Lord was also showing me the Bible. So every time I'd go to Bible study, these precious ladies would lay hands on me all the time because I was in tears going, I don't know how to hear God like y'all. How are y'all doing this? And then it became really frustrating because I would come home and I would give up. I would literally just go to my Bible study and go to church. And the rest of the days, I just did, you know, whatever worldly thing I wanted to do. And so I was going in this circle. I felt like a dog chasing my tail, going, Lord, where am I going? What am I doing? I just want to hear what they hear. Why aren't you talking to me? Do you not like me? Why do you like them more? I just was in this complaining state. And I felt like the Lord gave me little bits and pieces. I think for sure I was seeking him and I could hear little things, but it wasn't a continuous flow. It wasn't like his frequency yet.
What did you discover?
It made me hungry for more. I said, Lord, I gotta have it. I gotta hear from you. I don't want to wake up in the morning if you didn't tell me where to go that day. Like, I just became obsessed with the word of God. I wanted it and I wanted to find everything they were talking about. And I just constantly kept seeking the word and in prayer, seeking, got on my face in my closet and just crying out, Lord, I need you. Help me. I can't do it without you. And when I became desperate is when I think that was the key of I needed the Holy Spirit in my life and didn't know really how to get the Holy Spirit. And that was what changed everything.
How did it change?
I was at a Bible study one day, and that morning I was on a walk. I call them my worship walks. I spend an hour to an hour and a half every morning with the Lord, 365 days a year. I just praise and worship him. And that morning I had said, Lord, I want my prayer language. I want you, Holy Spirit. I said, show me how to get you. I don't know what I'm doing. I just want it because I had heard it in my Bible study. Well, that day, it was so amazing because Diana had brought in a lady, Yvonne Allen, an amazing woman of God, and she came to give us a talk. And she was talking about the fragrance of God and how you know people that carry the fragrance and you know people that don't. And she said, stop it. Somebody in here asked for their prayer language this morning. I was like sitting there going, how in the world does she know this? Brian, when there's like six or seven people in your Bible study and all of them have been walking with the Lord for 30 years, everybody in the room knew who it was because there's only one baby Christian in the room. And so I said, that was me. I asked him and I have tears because I couldn't believe that he answered that quickly. And so she turned on some worship, baptized me in the Holy Spirit that day. And that day like catapulted me, accelerated me. Into just absolutely seeking, finding, wanting more. I turned off all, I couldn't watch TV anymore because I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, what is distracting your voice? What is distracting in my life that I can't hear you? Do you know, it was like the very next day, I couldn't turn on the TV. It was like my hand couldn't do it. I go, that is so weird. Why do I not want to watch TV? It was my go-to routine, right? And I immediately started laughing. I said, Lord, you did that. That was the distraction. And so I became just obsessed with just any podcast I could get my hands on, any just readings, any words, any devotions. I mean, I was just any book. I just became obsessed with anybody and everybody's testimonies.
In the meantime, running parallel to this, what was going on with your kids and your husband?
Great question. So my husband wanted his wife back.
The old wife.
Yes, absolutely. That was a hard time because we had met in college and I was a party girl. I loved to drink my beer. I loved to have a good time. I loved sports. And all of a sudden, I didn't want hardly anything to do with any of that stuff. And I just wanted more of the Lord. And he was like, what's wrong with you? Like, what are you doing? I said, Scott, this is real. It's real. And the Lord's talking to me. I go, we missed it. We missed it. And look at our boys. And at this time, whenever you start to wake up, it's like the enemy. You never knew you were even flowing with the enemy until you're not.
Yeah.
And once we weren't, the enemy started coming after my kids. And I saw it. And then he came after our business. He came after my health. And he came after my marriage, really. I mean, we always had a rock solid marriage. We still do. But during that time, Scott couldn't understand. He was like, what in the world? Why can't we just go watch a game and have a beer? What has gotten into you? I wanted more. And I wanted my kids to wake up because I knew my son was headed off to college. And I said, Scott, you have to help me. These boys, I was like, they're our responsibility. The Lord's counting on us to steward these kids. And we have to get the word of God in them. They have to. I don't want them running to religion anymore. I don't want them, you know, seeking the wrong things. I don't want them getting involved in alcohol. We didn't think it was any big deal. We used to drink with our priest every Monday. So I wanted more for them.
What happened with respect to Scott's engagement with this? And you said your kids were under attack as well. What started to shift?
I would say, Scott, you know, we would read the Bible with our kids weekly. But some days we would read it one time. Sometimes we'd read it 4 days a week. I didn't feel any pressure from the Lord saying, you have to do it every day. I didn't feel that. So we just did it every week. Well, it was depositing into Scott and he was shifting. I could see it in him. But he was kind of letting me lead because I was learning in my Bible study and I would come home and teach. Well, probably like 4 years in, he out of the blue one day says, can we leave the Catholic Church? And I said, why are you talking like that? Quit talking like that in front of the kids. And he goes, Amy, I'm learning more from you in the Bible than I am when we show up on Sundays. He goes, it's almost like a conflict of interest. And I said, what do you mean? He goes, well, it's very conflicting for me because what we're learning, what we're doing on Sunday doesn't really even match what we're learning from the Bible. And that was the first seed that I would say the Lord planted in me that I could leave. Because Scott is an amazing man. He had grown up also in church, but in the Methodist church. That's why we were very equally yoked because we both grew up in religion and checking off that box. And even our services were very similar. And neither one of us grew up, you know, basically with the Holy Spirit and in relationship with Jesus. So he started to soften to it. And then it was probably about 2 years later. So now I'm like, I always tell people sanctification takes a long time. I said, I had one foot in the world, one foot in the Bible, but I think I needed to leave my religion for the Lord to break off so much religion in my mind. It was like my mind could not receive everything I was getting from the Word of God. And I couldn't understand the blockage because I would read something and see that I'm free, see that I have the Holy Spirit, see that He's in me. But then the next moment I have fear, doubt, anxiety. It was like flooding in. I was like, why am I so anxious? So it was a tug of war and my kids were in the same boat as I was. They were hearing it.
It reminds me of the scripture in James, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways, and woman.
Absolutely. And so my boys, one was going to college and the other two were in high school. And the one that was going to college, I could see he was already kind of leaning towards like our worldly selves, like kind of more into like a party scene. And I started calling him, please don't go back in religion. Seek the Lord every day. It's about relationship with him. Read your Bible every day. That's what's most important. And then ask him where he wants you. He was like, okay, yeah, mom, whatever. And then our other two were kind of the same. Like they were in high school, but I wouldn't say they were seeking or reading the Bible every day. But the Lord put on my heart at the beginning, probably 3 years into reading the Bible, to send my kids a scripture every single day. So every single day, whether they read it or not, I sent them a scripture. And then a couple years in, I would pray about that scripture and ask the Lord if there was anything he wanted me to send with it, like on my heart. And I would add something, not knowing if they had read it or not. And honestly, I think I was turning them off away from the Lord more than anything because I was shoving so much truth at them and no grace. And they were just like, stop it. Then our younger son started getting kind of isolated at school and he started turning into things of the world. And then our middle son, I think he was probably the strongest to stand against the attacks of the enemy. He always had a lot of friends. He's just a good kid, servant heart. So he didn't get it as bad. And then our daughter didn't either. I started seeing the fruit of raising a child, knowing the word of God. She knew who she was when she was 6 years old. So the word of God just built this foundation. It almost put this bloodline barrier around her and where she was like not feeling the attacks as much. And I was like, how is this happening? So I started seeing it. It was just the boys had so, I think they were just in a place where they had so much truth, but didn't want to receive it. So they were just bait for the enemy to dangle alcohol, to dangle girls, to dangle video games. Just all different things were coming out of them. Secular music. I didn't think anything about secular music. I grew up mostly on country music. I didn't know the effects of music on kids. I didn't know to shield them from things like that. And I look back and I'm like, how did we not know this stuff? Because we never read the Bible. So as I start reading it and it starts reading me and I'm like, Scott, we screwed up. What do we do? You know, we should have shielded their eyes. We should have shielded their ears. And it was just like all this truth of the word of God coming at Scott and I, how to raise these boys. And these boys were already old. So to turn the clock and try to get them back in our house, it wasn't happening. We had to battle. And the only way I knew is I told Scott, I was like, listen, the Bible says we're going to battle on our knees. We're going to battle with praise and worship. And Scott's like, what? I said, babe, we're going to battle on our knees. So my daughter, my sweet daughter would get on her knees with us. My middle son would get on our knees with us and we would give it to the Lord. And we would just say, Lord, this battle is yours. And then the Lord started showing me something very unique, like about 4 or 5 years ago, about with my mouth. He was showing me to watch everything that came out of my mouth and to declare and decree what I wanted to see. And I said, Lord, like, what do you mean? I'm not getting this. I could feel it in my spirit. He was telling me, Amy, you can have what you say. And if you keep talking about anxiety and what's wrong, you can have it. But if you start declaring and decreeing what you want to see, That day, I remember it so strong in my spirit. I wrote like 25 things I wanted to see in my family. Do you know within 6 weeks, I started seeing the fruit of that? Just my mouth. Yes, watching my mouth.
I love it.
So that was profound to me. That started, I think, more than anything, putting my boys back in alignment. But you know what the biggest thing was? I tell people all the time, your daughter, I think, looks at you, and my daughter easily accepted what I was saying because she came in alignment with what her mom, because she closely resembles me, right? Mm-hmm. Well, my boys were following my husband. He would read his Bible, you know, once or twice a week when we read it and show up at church. He wasn't on fire for the Lord. He wasn't reading it every day. Well, they looked just like him. They would appease us and read their Bible once or twice. And my son at college, I have no clue what if he was even doing it. And all of a sudden, it was during COVID, my husband was totally panicked. And during that time, do you know the peace of God was on me so strong that I felt joy? All that turmoil. And Scott was like, what are you doing? And I said, babe, the Lord showed me to expect good things. He was like, that's easy for you to say, Amy, you're not a provider of a family. And I said, Scott, I think if you would read your Bible every day, the peace of God would fall on you like it did me. And he goes, okay. And he just tried it 1 week. Do you know at day 7, he came to me, gave me the biggest kiss, the biggest hug. He just embraced me and goes, babe, I know what you're talking about. He goes, I'm turning off the TV. I feel it. It was like the Lord flooded him with peace. Like, I got you, Scott.
So amazing.
It was, because you know what happened right after that?
What?
All of our boys came in complete alignment. All of them started reading their Bible every day. Then they were taken out of school because all their schools shut down and they were all home. They would see their dad, and Scott never said a word to them, never told them to do it, nothing. They started doing it on their own because every day he was at the island reading his Bible, because at that time he knew Every time he opened the Word of God, he got peace. Every time he turned on the TV, the fear would come in. So we started playing as a family. We have a ranch outside of town, and we started going to the ranch and playing every day.
There's two key sentences I've written down. What is distracting me from hearing your voice? And the other is decree what you want to see. As you share your testimony, what types of questions do you tend to get from other people that hear this?
That's a great question. They want to know how I got my teenagers back because, you know, once your children taste the world tastes really good. The music, the alcohol, the partying, the relationships, it's hard to steer them back because those are all lies. The enemy has literally lied to me for so long that I didn't know God's voice. So when people come to me, they're like, how'd you do it? How'd you get your kids back? How'd you open their eyes? How did you all six get on the same page? And I said, honestly, it starts with you. You have to be so hungry for the Word of God and seek it like air. And then you have to show your kids. I would tell my kids, if you go out of this house without reading the Word of God, you went to battle today without your gun. So as long as I literally started declaring and decreeing and modeling what I wanted to see, not shoving it down their throat anymore, just modeling. Scott and I got up every day and we would read our Bible. And then on our music, that was huge. I changed all of my music. I only listened to worship. We still listen to a little bit of country, but all the secular music that I grew up listening to, I didn't even have the urge to want it. It was like the more worship. Well, then our kids, one of my biggest declarations, I tell people all the time, you must stop your mouth from agreeing with whatever you're seeing. So if your kids are in alcohol, drugs, relationships you don't like, don't open your mouth and partner with it. Start telling God what you want. And Romans 4:17 always came to my mind because it's calling things out as though they're not, they don't look that way, but it's as you want them. You start calling it out. So I would say, my boys love worship music. My boys love to worship the Lord. My family lives with purpose. My family is Holy Spirit filled. These things were not happening yet, Brian. But then in 6 weeks, the Lord started showing me the fruit of my mouth. And I was in awe. I was like, Lord, is it really that easy? If I think more parents would not agree and not a partner. Because when your kid comes home and they're confused and they're buying into a lie that the enemy told them about themselves, and you go, it's okay. I love you anyway. It's okay. No, that's not okay. The Lord didn't tell you that. The enemy's telling you that. Open the Word of God. Let's find what God says about it. Because when you start decreeing and declaring the Word of God over you, it breaks off so many lies off your kids. But if you're willing to partner with the lie they're hearing, then you basically handed them over to the enemy. So you have to stand against it, even if it's hard. Our son that was battling just the torture of the enemy, just lies and doubts, video games, smoking pot. We didn't know he was doing it. It was right underneath our noses, and we had no idea. No idea. We knew that he seemed tired all the time, but we thought, oh, teenager, we didn't know that was happening. Well, that's something really, really hard where the enemy is coming after your kid. So we just started just declaring and decreeing. And I laugh now because back then I got this righteous anger in me. And I tell parents all the time, do you have a righteous anger towards the enemy? It's not at your kid. Your kid's not the one you're mad at. It's the enemy. So this righteous anger just welled up in me one day. I brought my husband. I said, we need to talk to him. And my husband was like, okay. I said, we're united together. You and I are in covenant together and he's ours. My husband was like, okay. So I literally pull him into our room and I'm screaming at him. I'm like, get away from my kid. He's mine. I will fight for this kid till the day I die. Get away from him in Jesus' name. I just start screaming. Do you know something in the spirit broke? Because in a week later, I started seeing the fruit of what was happening. Do you know my kid, probably within 3 weeks later, my son gave his life to Jesus in a Young Life meeting. The director called us and told us, and I'm bawling. But I think so many parents think they're helpless. You're not helpless. God gave you all authority to take him. Take your kid back.
I'm just imagining what he was thinking. When you pulled him in the room, what was he thinking? What did he look like?
That's a great question. I'm sorry. I get so fired up because I feel like I took it for so long. And now I walk in authority that God gave me. And I know people are like, you're so passionate about this. I go, I am. because I want people to wake up and realize those kids are yours. God gave them to you for a reason and you can take them back. My son was looking at me with like, I could tell honestly that it wasn't him. There was a rebellious spirit on him. I could tell by the way he talked to us. He is the most respectful, amazing man of God. And I knew he always had something special in him because he was super outgoing and just drew people into him. But all of a sudden there was a shift in his personality where we would say, you know, can you take out the trash day? And he was like, no, why don't you do it? That would never have come out of his mouth. And it was just all of a sudden, that's how I knew the enemy was coming after my kids. The enemy doesn't care about you once you're awake. He wants your seed. He wants your kids. Nothing new is under the sun. I feel like it's been that way since the beginning of time, right? And so my son was looking at me going, what are you doing? What are you doing? That's all he kept saying. And I would look him in the eye and go, you're mine. I'm going to fight for you till the day I die. And he was just looking at me like, why are you saying that? What are you doing? And then he just kind of got quiet and was just looking at me. But I could tell that the enemy knew that this girl's not backing down.
What did your husband see? What did he share with you?
My husband that day, he was like shocked. You know? he was sitting in our room with us and kind of shocked of what was coming out of my mouth. But he knew after 3 weeks, we could see it breaking off. And we were actually on a dinner that night. And this is the sweetest thing about God. During this period of time, our business was being attacked. My health was being attacked. My son was being attacked. My older son was being attacked. And it was all coming down at once where it feels like you can't breathe. And we were just on our knees every day. Every night we would get around our ottoman, me, my husband, our middle son, and my daughter. And we would war with praise and worship and start just speaking what we wanted to see and pray. That's it. So 3 weeks into it, we were going out to dinner. And actually the Young Life meeting was at our house that night. My son, this is how I knew something was shifting. He writes me from school and says, Mom, can we host Young Life tonight? And I'm like, well, what do we have to do to host it? He goes, nothing. We just have to open our house. I go, absolutely. And I'm inside going, Lord, how did that happen? I mean, this was like 3 weeks later.
Yeah.
After I yelled at the enemy to get away from him. Anyways, he's in our house and my husband said, let's leave and let's go to dinner. Well, while we're at dinner, we are getting a gift card for a really good friend of ours that helped us on this case for one of our businesses. We go to this really expensive restaurant to get a gift card for our friend. And we decide we're just going to stay in this restaurant. We don't have a reservation, but they were like, oh, you can come over here and eat in the bar area. We were like, awesome. So we split a meal because it's really expensive, but we were just trying to waste time so Young Life could meet.
Yeah.
And while we're at dinner, at the very end, the manager of the restaurant comes to our table and he says, we don't know what's about to happen, Brian. He comes to our table and he says, how was dinner? We said it was amazing. Can we please get a gift card for $200? And he said, absolutely. Hey, by the way, we're so sorry your appetizer came out late and we would like to adjust your bill. And we looked at each other and we were like, no, we don't remember that. Like, it was fine. Everything was great. And he leaves. He comes back with our bill, and our bill was $120 because we were at a really nice restaurant and we split a meal. We split a meal, had an appetizer, and our bill was $60. And I go, Scott, how did that just happen? He goes, I don't know. Well, all of a sudden I get a phone call at the table from the guy that is running Young Life in my house, the leader. And he says, Amy, thank you so much for opening your house to us. The Lord loves your home. Three kids gave their life to Jesus in your living room tonight. I start bawling. I'm at the table. We're still at this restaurant and I just start sobbing. I was like, Lord, how are you doing this? And I know you just bought our dinner. I know you did that. I said, I don't know how you're doing this, but it's amazing. So I write this guy and I said, you're welcome. You can use our house anytime. I'm absolutely crying. I'm so moved. And he said, well, you might want to cry a little harder. Your son was one of the three. The one that literally was being so attacked gave his life to Jesus in my living room with all these people.
Wow.
Yes. Supernatural. It was amazing.
How amazing. Yes. Amy, I know we've just barely scratched the surface of all that God is doing in your life and has done. I'm going to pause here now, though, and I'm going to ask you to pray for our listeners as we finish up here.
Absolutely. Father God, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for every person listening to this, every person you drew to our story, Father. It's for a reason. Father, I just ask you to just stir in their hearts to hunger more from you, to get a heavenly boldness and fire to not partner with the things of the enemy, but partner with your word of God. Father, I just ask you to just stir in them to seek the word of God for truth and find out who they really are. Father, I ask you to just break off any doubts, any despair, because everything is in the word of God, all authority of these parents. Father, no kid is lost. They're all coming home. I just pray a heavenly fire and anointing on these parents to get their kids back and declare and decree what they want to see. Father, I thank you in the mighty name of Jesus for everything you're doing in every life. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amy, thank you so much for being a guest. I think we might be talking again on another episode someday.
I would love it. I cannot stop sharing the marvelous things the Lord has done, and He is just so good. He's so good.
Hey everyone, thanks for listening. Please make sure you subscribe to the show and share this with someone you believe would be encouraged and motivated by these stories. Until next time, I'm Brian Robinson reminding you that the greatest decision you could ever make is to ask Jesus Christ to become the Lord of your life. If you haven't done that, read Romans chapter 10, verses 9 through 11. Thanks again for listening.